Get ready. The computer guys are next, and not one of them is a sneezer. All are genius ranked, we're told, and one even is an official geezer. I'm Glenn Lamberts on Rochester's News Leader, News Radio 1180 WHAM.
News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbite. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 30th of December, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Lentin.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, I am officially a geezer, and I want to thank the mighty, mighty Glenn Lambert for
indoctrinating me into the club.
Did you have a birthday this past week?
No,
but he qualifies as a geezer.
We're all in September.
Oh. We're all in September, but I qualify as a geezer.
That's right.
I'm not.
I have a certificate.
He does. He got a certificate to prove it. And there's some other people in the room who qualify, but the awards have not come through yet.
See, you get
nominated, then
the process.
Although I have to admit, it's not enough to just be nominated. I like it that I won. Thank you.
Exactly. What age do you have to be a geezer? Is what I want to know.
You don't have to be any age.
You don't have to be a certain age.
Geezer is not age oriented. And I say we have to explain this now.
Yes, you do.
You can be a young geezer.
That's right. I wrote a newspaper article and I told the story about when I was shooting hoops, 15 years ago or so. This youngster came up and said, "Hey, you geezer, give me the ball. I'll show you how it's done." Ticked me off. So I challenged him to a game of foul line shots and I beat the little. But then I went home and I look up the word geezer and it just means unusual or queer in the unusual sense, you see. And I thought, that's me, And so, I'm a geezer. Fine. And so are the rest of you.
Thank you.
I mean, there are not many people I work with who are not, actually. So there you
prefer
go.
The geezers.
Well, I'm thinking that I'm a few years away from that.
Well, see, there you go with the age.
I think I'm a few years. Imagine that, being the youngest man in the room,
Right. Thanks a lot.
We hate him. He's a puppy.
My theory is that middle age is 2 years away, and it has been for 5 years now.
That's exactly right. I figure I'll hit middle age when I'm 50. That being the case, I will live to be 100.
My wife is a transcriptionist, and she loves this story. She was writing up a patient profile for her boss, and he was describing the patient as a middle-aged woman. And my wife, wait a minute, she's older than me.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a different kind of, what is middle age? What is old? What is, what is it now? The 30s, the new 20 or something like,
There's one theory.
Yeah.
It's mind over matter.
Uh-huh.
You don't mind, it don't matter.
I knew a guy who at 40 was old.
Yeah.
My father at 70 was young.
There's people at 20 that are old.
Yeah. Yeah. It has nothing to do with any of that stuff. So stay young.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Microsoft Corporation has warned Windows Home server users, this is a great story, not to edit files stored on their backup systems with several of its programs, including Vista Photo Gallery and Office's OneNote and Outlook, as well as files generated by popular finance software such as Quicken and QuickBooks. When you use certain programs to edit files on a home computer that uses Windows Home Server, the files may become corrupted when you save them to the home server, Microsoft said in a support document posted last week. The document went on to list the software, which includes Vista Photo Gallery, Windows Live Photo Gallery, OneNote 2003, OneNote 2007, Outlook 2007, Microsoft Money 2007, and SyncToy 2.0 Beta. However, other programs may also corrupt files stored on a home server powered by Microsoft Windows Home Server. Additionally, there have been customer reports of issues with torrent applications, with Intuit Quicken, and with QuickBooks programs. Until an update for Windows Home Server is available, we recommend that you do not use the programs that are listed to save or edit program-specific files that are stored on a Windows Home Server system. Microsoft blamed the problem on a glitch. Really? Within Windows Home Server's shared folders. The computer said it reproduced the bug. The company said that it reproduced the bug and would post any new information to a document tagged as KB946676. That's KB946676. 6676. The number in Bayonne, KB946676. Well, our development team is working full-time through the holidays to diagnose and address this issue, claimed an anonymous posting on Thursday to the Microsoft blog dedicated to Windows Home Server. Windows Home Server, which was unveiled nearly a year ago by Chairman Bill Gates at the Consumer Electronics Show, is a heavily modified version of Windows Server 2003, designed for consumers and small businesses. Hewlett-Packard launched the first hardware powered by Windows Home Server, its $600 and $750 MediaSmart servers last month, and is now shipping systems to customers. Let me repeat this for those of you who were so stunned they didn't quite get it the first time. Microsoft is recommending that you do not use their server to store files.
No, to edit files.
Do not store. It says store or edit.
Store, wow.
Yeah. Do not store files onto the server that Microsoft sold you in order to store your files. The basic idea, if you want to use them, you pull them off of that server, use them somewhere, do something with them, and then put them back. This is a problem for those people who are using... A lot of us have set up, for example, Outlook to save all its files somewhere else. The same is true of Mail. The same is true particularly for OneNote. I store OneNote up, my OneNote files on my server at work so that from anywhere I can open my OneNote folder, my OneNote files, and have all my files available.
You might want to explain what OneNote is.
OneNote is an application for Microsoft that lets you do a whole lot of interesting saving your notes and working on things, and you create tabs that each have their own thing on them. You can drag and drop any other Microsoft files onto it. The nice thing about it is you can write on it, handwrite on it, and stuff like that. And it's a great application for taking notes at meetings because you can pretty much put
anything
in. Comes
with 2007.
Right. But I store my stuff up on the server. Now, if you're using Windows Home Server, you cannot do that. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton. Nick, it sounds like you should be like coming in on a horse. You know what I'm saying? When that song plays?
I was thinking swooping out of the sky.
That's
bailing in the breeze.
On Pegasus.
I don't get to hear my theme song so much anymore now that I'm not doing the morning show.
Well, that's why I play it, just so you can, you know, get that feeling again.
Thank you. It's 20 minutes after the hour you're listening to Soundbite. Apple. Fears that rock fans will deafen themselves with a highest volume setting equal to a chainsaw has led Apple to develop an automatic volume control. It's the first time the company's explicitly expressed fears over the risk that the iPod poses to hearing. Experts believe that millions of young people are risking irreversible hearing damage because of the craze for MP3 players in general, and of course the iPod in particular. The iPod, like other musical digital music players, can store enough music to play for several days and has batteries that can last for more than 12 hours at a time. As a result, its owners can keep their earphones in all day, risking cumulative damage to their hearing. A new patent reveals that the next iPods and iPhones could automatically calculate how long a person has been listening and at what volume before gradually reducing the sound level. It states, since the damaging effects on users' hearing is both gradual and cumulative, even those users who are concerned about hearing loss may not behave in a manner that would limit or minimize such damaging effects. Currently, iPods can reach volumes of more than 100 decibels, equivalent to standing 10 feet from a pneumatic drill. At that volume, experts claim there is a risk of hearing damage after just 15 minutes. Some MP3 players can exceed 120 decibels, which I think is jet plane volume. So the move by Apple comes after heavy criticism by hearing charities who express concerns about the risk posed by MP3 players. First thing, of course, always to do when you get an MP3 player is throw away those stupid inside-your-ear headpieces. That's a lot of a cause. The earbuds. Just throw them away. I know they look cute. And I understand that for Apple users, they're a sign of prestige.
Well, it blocks,
I've got an iPod.
It blocks outside noise so you hear the music better. Which is bad for you.
Which is bad all the way around, so yeah. It's not something you should do.
Apple did address this issue a little bit last year when they put a volume limiter in the software, so parents can put a volume limiter on their kids' iPods and put a password on it.
Right. All right, our first caller of the day is Phil. Phil, are you calling from Maine, New York, or from Maine?
No, I'm calling from Kittery, Maine.
Kittering, oh. Maine. How are things in Kittering?
Well, they're snowy, and it's beautiful up here. But I come from down your way, down Springwater, and I listen to you oftentimes on Sunday. And
thank you.
A couple of weeks ago, you had on an individual talking about a tornado software and the...
No, it's not tornado software. It's a tornado product. It's called a product called
a
Tornado.
Little hardware device.
And what it is it's a hardware device.
Yeah. Have you had much feedback on that or tried it yourselves?
I've used it, and it works pretty good.
Do you think someone that isn't terribly well-versed would be able to use it and use it well?
Yes. It literally, like their commercial shows, a monkey setting it up.
Yeah.
It is that simple. If you hook it up to two XP machines.
Yeah.
It just starts running.
It just automatically starts running. You open up, Windows Explorer, and on the bottom part of the screen, it labels this computer. On the top, it's the other computer. It's that simple. And you just click and drag files back and forth.
It really sounds like a very worthwhile thing.
Oh, it is. It is one cool product. And like I say, if you've got Windows 98 or that, it does come with a CD that you can load the drivers for it because Windows 98 needs it.
Yeah.
But no, if you're going from XP machine to XP machine, it is literally
It almost sounds too good to be true. But it is.
It is. Yeah, and I've tried it and used it, and it works fantastic.
It just sounds like it's goof-proof. And
it is.
Well, that's what I was calling about. I really enjoy the show, and thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you, Phil. Keep listening and kittering. Get a whole bunch of other people to listen. Get us on your local station.
Nick, wife and I watched the movie Tombstone 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, see?
I remember listening to you on the news and talking about that movie, Tombstone.
Yep, one of my favorites.
You got the T-shirt on.
I have the T-shirt on, as a matter of fact.
If you watch the webcam,
Nick is stripping.
The legend of the Tombstone.
All right, well, thank you, Phil, and keep listening in Kittering. Thanks. Kittering, Maine. We should get a map and start putting people on it.
There's got to be one of those already on the internet.
Where exactly is that? Is it a big area?
Kittering?
Kittering? Yeah. Huh. Why?
I was just wondering. I've never heard of it before.
Well, we do have a map.
Have you heard of the internet?
No, not at all.
You know what he should do is go, because we do have a map, technically, of Frapper. On Frapper, there is Argyle already set up a map where folks can go to the Soundbites Frapper section and log in, and it lists all our listeners, no matter where they are. Matter of fact, we had one in China.
Yep.
Is it Kittery or Kittering?
Kittery.
Kittery. Population 9,543.
It'll be interesting is to talk to the IT folks here to get one of those analytic maps so you can see where people are listening on the internet, too. I don't know if they have that capability, but it's really neat to see.
Right.
That'd
right.
Be cool.
There's both Kittery and Kittering. I think he said Kittering.
Kittering.
Yeah, Kittery is the southernmost town in Maine. It's the gateway to Maine, they call it.
The gateway, assuming you're coming from the south. It's a heck of a drive from the north.
Yeah.
To come all the way around.
Yeah.
All right, that's Phil in Kittering, Maine. Our next caller is Steve from, he's from Rochester, New York. How are things in Rochester?
Not bad, gentlemen.
Is it here often?
Just once or twice a year.
Oh, okay.
I have a quick question. I have a new laptop that has Vista on it, and I have it networked to the desktop, which has XP. The Vista machine can see the XP machine, but when I access it, it tells me access denied. I had all the firewalls shut down, and I was wondering if you can give me any direction.
What username are you logging into it as?
The same one, the same administrative name on the XP desktop and the laptop.
Now, they're both of the same work group?
Same work group.
Yeah, access denied is usually a permission error. You're not logging in with a high enough level user to see what you're trying to get to.
When you log in, do you see anything? When you go to open it up, do you see anything? Or does it immediately come up and say access denied?
When I view the whole network, the XP machine does show up.
Right, and then you double-click on it.
And it tells me access denied.
One of the things that you have to do once you get those two machines connected is that on the XP machine, you have to actually share something.
I do have a shared folder.
Well, the standard shared folder is only shared between users on the same computer. You have to create a network shared folder.
Okay.
Which can be the same folder.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you right-click on that folder and choose sharing, you create a network share folder that other computers on the network can see.
Okay.
Right. So it's slightly different from just saying, yeah, share me.
Yeah, because if it says shared folder, like right. I say, you know, yeah. it's only shared within that particular right. computer.
Now, if I want to share the printer that's hooked up to the desktop.
You got
to
right-click on that and say share the printer.
Okay.
And again, share it to the network.
Exactly.
Yep.
Thank you, and have a good year.
You Same too. To you. That's one of the interesting things, actually, about Windows networking. It's actually pretty simple to set up.
It's gotten a lot better, I mean.
Right. The problem is you've still got just those tiny little tweaks. Microsoft uses the same name, and I understand the word shared. It's hard to find another term for that. But they should make it much clearer that you're sharing locally or you're sharing on a network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they should call it shared not network, shared on network.
Remember back in the day before we did DHCP, you had to keep track of all the addresses, the domains, and it was a pain in the butt.
Yep.
I mean, it's so sweet. Now you just go in, make sure they're the same work group, set up the shares that you want, and away you go.
All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Well, the days when you can assume that Apple's products are exempt from harm are over. Is it time to panic? No. Actual attacks against Macs and the rest of the Apple family, such as the iPhone, are still rare, but as the platform becomes more and more popular, hackers are gearing up to do damage. You'd better protect yourself. We've been saying this for years. Most Mac users take security too lightly. In fact, most are quite proud of the fact that they don't run any security at all, says IDC analyst Chris Christensen. That's an open door. At some point, it will be exploited, he says. In 2006, the National Institutes of Standards and Testing, NIST, tabulated 106 vulnerabilities in Apple's Mac OS X. It defines a vulnerability as a weakness in the code that could be exploited to perform unauthorized and generally harmful functions through the application. In the first 6 months of 2007, there were 78 vulnerabilities found in Mac OS X. Windows XP All Flavors, meanwhile, had only 55 vulnerabilities in 2006 and only 19 in the first 6 months of 2007. Vista, which wasn't available in 2006, chalked up 19 vulnerabilities in 2007. As well. In a sense, Apple is a victim of its own success. Savvy hackers read the same stories and watch the same television programs as the rest of us, so they are very aware of the burgeoning popularity of Apple's products. Hacking Windows still provides a lot more bang per bug than attack on Apple, but the smaller rival is a more satisfying target than ever before, and the company's deserved reputation for building good products has probably made users overconfident. Apple has better commercials, but the Mac is no harder to break into than a Windows PC, says Gartner security analyst John Pescatore. What's more, most IT shops can automatically patch large numbers of PCs at the same time, while Macs generally have to be patched one at a time, he said.
Well,
actual attacks on the Mac platform are still unusual, but as it becomes a juicier target, that will change. Why take a chance? Give a lot more thought to securing your Macs this year.
That's not true that you have to install Macs one at a time. There are the same tools under Windows, that are the same tools that Windows has for batch updating an entire network.
For all the applications on it or just the basic Mac operating system ones?
The operating system and Apple applications.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right, they're saying, well, if you've got something else, if you're using any program that doesn't come from Apple on your system and you're complacent about not bothering to update because Macs don't get viruses, you're vulnerable.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's not that Macs are bad. We're not saying Macs are bad. We're saying Mac people need to be as aware nowadays of the problems and the viruses and the hackers as everybody else. You know, the reality is if you stand out in the middle of the field and keep shouting, I'm bulletproof, eventually somebody's going to take a shot, see what happens. And if the Mac people continue to stand up and say, we are hack free and I don't even have to run an antivirus because we are hat-free, well, eventually you're going to get hacked.
How many years have we been saying that? If someone could have done it, they would have done it by now.
Okay.
Just to be okay. First.
No, right, please, so, yeah. Don't, don't run anything on your system if that makes you happy. It's just, it takes so little to do it. And you know what? Do it, but don't tell anybody. I mean, if it's so important to you to announce that you are naked to the world, go ahead and keep announcing it. Just run something anyway. Just don't lie to people so that you feel better about yourself as a Mac person. Okay, I mean, what the hell? I mean, just...
A question.
Yeah.
For example, I run antivirus software on my Mac.
Perfect.
What else is there? There's no anti-Trojan software. There's no anti...
There are some things you should be that are out there now, and they're just starting to come out now.
Like what?
There is a Mac anti-spyware program called Mac Scan, and we kind of laugh at it because there isn't any spyware or keyloggers for the Mac yet. Right. So you're paying them money to scan for something that doesn't exist.
Yet.
And it only will be able to scan for things that it knows about. So if a virus does
come out... Well, that's true
out,
of all of them.
Right, that's true of all of them. If it does come out, it's going to propagate a day or two before it gets caught.
Yeah, but even so, you don't need to be the guy who gets caught on day three. I understand that Mac people feel the need to be superior in everything all the time. I understand that. A Mac is not just a computer. It's a statement of ego. I get that. I have a Mac. I can say this. I have a MacBook Pro 2 gig of RAM, you know, the whole dual quad, whatever the hell they are is in there, 17-inch screen. I love it. And I understand that the reason you carry it around is an ego thing. PC people and Linux people don't shine their laptops when they take them out of the bag. I don't know if you noticed that. They don't. Mac people do. Mac people buy those little chamois cloths to put over the keyboard before they close the case.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that the Apple people.
But you work at RIT where there's a lot of Macs and laptops.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, every person I know.
We care about our appearance.
You can actually buy, You can actually buy something called, what's it, iGel or something like that?
iClear is a screen cleaner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, no, there's an iGel that buffs your laptop.
There is a product for the PC, too. It's called Windex, and it's a lot cheaper.
No. Exactly. Do not use Windex on your monitor. It will damage the coding on the monitor.
Yeah. For
the laptop. For the laptop, it's not good. Oh, all right, we got people online, but we'll come back and take them in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, the now incensed Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you 39 minutes after the hour at Sound Bites. I'm going to get so much mail. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites. So far, I haven't gotten any hate mail, but I'm sure I will. So far, the people in the forums.
Well, and we should continue a little bit on the discussion we're having off the air that the Mac is vulnerable, especially...
That must have hurt.
Right, you know.
That really must have hurt.
Especially what we've been describing, because the security in Vista is so much better, but then so annoying for the end user to have to click OK every time they want to do something, that the virus writers and Trojan horse writers are getting more sophisticated, and they're using Flash-based viruses, and they're using Java-based viruses and Trojan horses that come in on web pages. So they come in over port 80, which is your web port.
Which is always open on every machine.
Because you want to see web pages. And there have been cases where a third-party content provider, Google Ad, bought an ad from somebody, and there was a Trojan horse embedded in that ad that displayed on a MyPage page. So it's three companies away, and MyPage gets infected by a virus.
Or anywhere that shows an ad.
Right, anywhere that shows an ad can do this. So far, the payloads have only been for Windows. But there's nothing to stop someone from writing a payload for the Mac that will do something on your Mac.
In fact, there's nobody that prevents you from writing a payload that says, what kind of system am I running on?
Right.
Let's hit that. You know, so that's doable.
And especially now, since viruses are almost on a downturn. There hasn't been a big virus in months.
Right.
It's identity theft. So if they can trick you into putting in your username, password, social security number, bank account numbers, you know, how many times do you get an email from Citibank claiming there's a problem in your account?
Right.
If they can sneak into your account that way, that's even better.
Right.
You know, they don't want to put a virus on your computer and shut you down. They want you to get on the internet.
I think the last big virus outbreak was what? Back with the CNN?
Yeah, the CNN one.
Reality is that every machine has the same vulnerability, that loose nut behind the keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's the user edition. In fact, I was listening to another Colin show. I've been addicted to Leo Laporte, and I don't know why. I'm trying to stop.
As long as you see your wife doesn't mind it. Well, I suppose that's between the two
of
you.
A woman called in and convinced she had a virus and spyware, because this window kept popping up on her screen saying she had a spyware and that she has to buy this program to clean it. And as they were asking her more details, it came out she had a Mac. Well, no, that's just a fake ad trying to fake you into clicking there and giving them your credit card number. And she was paranoid about having spyware on her computer. She hadn't been using her computer in a month.
Right.
And on a Mac, the window looks different. It doesn't look like a Mac window. So if you're paying attention, you might
but
notice.
So few people do.
So few people pay attention. And under Windows, it looks like a real Windows message.
Yep.
And
yep.
So people are notorious for clicking here.
Yep.
In fact, what was that old bank scam? I don't know. It's an old scam. Everyone knows about it. You put a sign on the ATM slot, ATM down, put your money here.
Yeah.
And people do.
People do.
I saw this on Dragnet 20 years ago.
And people do.
People
it.
Do. People, yeah, we're programmed to obey signs.
20 years ago.
Well,
you were watching a rerun.
It was the original Dragnet, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Spencerport. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Good morning, fellows. And don't tell anybody, but I own a PC.
Uh-oh.
And what I have is a Dell laptop. And after I put it on standby, at some point, it'll start all by itself, even on standby. And it won't completely boot up. It'll just boot to a black screen with a cursor, no C prompt or anything, just a cursor, and sit there blinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll respond to no inputs whatsoever.
Yep.
And then after about 3 minutes, shuts itself down and
yep.
does it about once an hour.
Because Windows doesn't like those modes. Windows XP is, I'm assuming, is what you're using?
Yep.
Yeah, it does not like shutdown or standby.
Standby or hibernate, especially on desktops.
Right. Yeah, it does not like any of those. So both in the BIOS and in Windows, I would turn those so-called features off.
I've seen this mostly when it was set in both Windows itself and the BIOS of the laptop.
And there's
Microsoft recommends you turn it off in the BIOS and only use theirs.
Okay.
And there's also a setting usually in BIOS on your network card to wake on administrator access, and that can half wake up when it sees a network packet, which are always flying around.
Right. And so you want to turn those off. So you want to make sure that the BIOS is not doing anything to your laptop, because Windows can't stand it.
Okay.
And let Windows handle it.
Okay, thanks a lot, fellas.
There you go.
All right.
All right, our next caller, is it Rivy on a cell phone?
Yes, it is. How are you, fellas?
Peachy, how are you?
Not too bad. Just wanted a comment on, two comments, actually, on the wonderful discussion you guys are having there with Macs and PCs.
Uh-oh.
I own a PC, and not too familiar with the Macs, but I like to say that people that are running Macs and the OS, they're actually in a very, very fortunate situation where they haven't been attacked. And if they do take the precautions now and start going through all the stuff that PC users went through, you know, making sure that you have a nice, strong antivirus, anti-spam, and all that good stuff, good security suite, maybe they won't go through the pains that we PC users have gone through.
Right.
So, you know, on that side of the house, I like to say, hey, you know what? Let's forget about what's better and what's better and what whose operating system shines more, and say, hey, you're in a good position right now that if you take some precautions, you'll be okay. My second comment would be on, in general, security. You're not going to stop everything. There are some very crafty and clever people out there that craft all these Trojan horses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is just be a little cautious. You don't need to be paranoid. Don't need to, like, if I touch the mouse, if I click here, is my computer going to blow up type of thing, you know? Just be cautious, you know, understand certain things that your financial institution is going to call you. They're not going to email you if they want to talk to you.
Right.
You
get a letter in the mail.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. You know, be that kind of stuff. And don't be thinking that you click every little thing that you got, you're going to get rich quick.
The first line of defense is the person at the keyboard, not your antivirus, not your anti-spyware. It's the person at the keyboard,
right.
Yeah.
And that was my comment, you know, that, you know, it's just, use a little common sense. Don't have to be paranoid. You know, be cautious. Yes, maintain a good antivirus. Maintain good anti-spamware and adware and all that good stuff, regardless if it's a Mac or a PC. Just use common sense, and you'll be all right.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
And
thank you, Rivy.
We've mentioned the two big antivirus programs, McAfee and Norton. They both have Mac versions as well. The free programs, Clam, and Clam has Mac and Windows and Unix, AVG and Antiver for Windows. So there are free programs out there you can run. In fact, virtually everyone gets a program with their internet service. Both Frontier right. and Roadrunner offer free antivirus programs. So there's no right. reason not to run one.
And the Macs are so unbelievably powerful that why would you not run one? You're not going to notice it running
yeah,
the Mac.
Yeah, that, well, see, that's the big reason to not run an antivirus is it slows your machine down.
But when
especially,
your machine is
especially
that
the
fast,
last few versions of Norton have been really
well, yeah,
slow.
Yeah, yeah.
They've tried to, well, see, it's creeping featureitis. Every program runs into it. They have to make the programs have more features to make you buy the new version, but then it gets slower.
Yep.
So it's been terrible.
Well, I've been very happy with both AVG and Avast on the PC side, and with Clam AV on the Linux and Mac sides. I've been very happy with both of those. With all of those, they don't. Mm-hmm. Those in particular don't slow the machines down. And again, you know, my Mac is so fast, my Linux boxes are so fast. I really don't notice it unless they're doing a full system scan, which I tell them to do at 2 a.m. So I don't even notice any of that stuff. Even I'm trying not to be up at 2 a.m. so much anymore. But that's how that works. If you do the full system scans, which, for example, on this laptop, which only has a half a gig of RAM and is only a gig and a half in speed, I actually notice a little bit of a slowdown when it's doing a full system scan and pulling all the files off the hard drive and scanning them all and things like that.
And that's your Linux.
And that's my Linux box. But it wouldn't matter what it was. It's the speed of the system and the amount of RAM I have. It's really the amount of RAM.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to pull down a big file and scan it when you've only got a half a gig of RAM.
Yeah, the problem is that, you know, the $399 computers you buy at the big, you know, no-name stores that come with half a gig of RAM and a 20 gig hard drive.
Right.
And then you try to load an antivirus on it and, you know, well, yeah, it's slow.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. if you're running that antivirus at 2 a.m, you leave the machine on all, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You don't notice it. And then in the background, the few things that it's doing aren't a big deal. If it takes an extra half a second to download a 20 gig file off the internet, how are you even going to notice that? So who cares? You know, it's not a big deal. All right. Do we have time for one more call? We do. Our next caller is Jim from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I had an old 98 desktop, Windows 98, that died, and I'm interested in buying a new desktop. I'm wondering, I've heard so many bad things about Vista. Should I try to find a machine that has XP on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the
yes.
Vista, well,
yes.
Yeah. Vista in and of itself isn't really that bad. The problem is connecting to anything else. If you have any old software you want to run, if you have any old peripherals you want to run, you can't, almost.
Okay.
So if you're going to buy Vista, plan on buying all new software that's Vista compatible. Plan on buying a new printer, new scanner, new camera, everything that's Vista compatible.
Okay.
Yeah, and the bottom line is Vista versus XP. All you're doing is you're shelling out more money to do what XP does, but I call Vista XP on steroids. Because basically that's all it is. You're just getting a lot more fluff.
It's pretty. If you have enough yeah. horsepower in your CPU and RAM and graphics card is even
See,
more
here's
important
the big
now.
Thing. When we went from 98 to XP, you got rid of DOS, you went to NTFS, and you also got rid of the barrier of 128 mega memory. Now with XP, as much memory you throw at it, it'll take advantage of it. Going from XP to Vista, there's all the things that are good for it.
And there was also a study, I don't know how big a study, just came out a couple of weeks ago, that Vista is about 50% slower than XP is on the same computer doing the same things.
And the annoying concept, you sure you want to do this? Is this okay?
I tried to open the control panel.
I want to punch a screen out.
I'm playing with Vista on a Mac, just you know, to play with it.
Sure.
And,
too much free time.
What was
huh?
I trying to do? Oh, I was trying to switch my boot drive back to the Mac.
Right.
And so first I had to say, yes, I wanted to open the control panels. And I had to say, yes, I want to change my boot drive. And then I had to say, yes, I want to reboot.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just checked. This is only an 800 megahertz machine. And that certainly explains why when it suddenly goes into scanning the whole drive, it's a little slow.
And virtually any computer you buy new today is a dual core.
Yeah.
Because they can't make the clock speeds any faster. They're putting more cores in.
Yes.
One of the folks here on the message board brought up a good point. It's almost getting to the point that Vista is going to be the equivalent to my other beloved product.
Yep. Yeah.
Windows ME.
Well,
I'm almost saying so ME is better than Vista.
Holy cow.
And that's saying a lot, folks.
Jim, hold on a second.
How hard is it to buy a machine?
That was what I was going to talk about. Go ahead.
XP on it.
It's getting to be hard to buy machines with XP on it, especially if you go to like a
typical
store. To
the chain stores, yeah. But any of us local places can still build you one with Vista on it, no problem.
With XP on it.
Yeah, with XP on it. I
Dave
do it all
can
this.
Do that. Steve can do that. Yeah. So either
all
one
the
of them
stores will... around should still be able to go in and ask for a machine with XP on it. If they give you a hard time about it, walk out.
Look, you look at some of the big chain and the national companies like Dell and Gateway. They have 50 computers with Vista and 2 with XP.
Yeah.
So they're going to want to sell you
and
one
with Unix.
Yeah, one with Unix.
Linux. So yeah, you can get them. The problem is, of course, Microsoft is paying them a premium to sell Vista.
In fact, what did I hear? Was it was it Dell or Gateway? One of the big companies is charging you $300 extra to put XP on it.
Yeah.
It comes with Vista, and if you want XP, they're making you buy an XP license separately.
Yeah, essentially a full commercial version.
A friend of mine had to order one because through his business he gets a big discount. They told him it was going to be $350 more if he wanted to go from Vista to XP.
Right, so they have to buy the XP license, and you're paying for their labor of installing XP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you can still buy computers pre-configured with XP on them. It's just a little harder to find.
Yeah. You just have to be a little more adamant about it.
Like I say, if you go locally, the dealers around here should be willing to do it. If not, walk away and find one that will.
And by locally, Dave, you mean the sole proprietor establishments.
Shops like mine, Steve, and a number of the others.
You don't mean locally like the Best Buy on Henrietta?
No. I'm saying regular computer local, shops, not these big
chain stores.
Yeah, chain stores.
The big box stores. You don't want a box, you want a computer, and the only way to get that is
and
to go to
service.
One of the good local dealers.
Well, that's it.
The other thing is make sure wherever you go, now certainly Steve and Dave do this legally, but make sure you get a legal copy of XP. Not just, I'll burn you a copy.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to make sure it's a full legal copy because Microsoft is clamping down on that.
In fact, one of the things we had read that XP has an enterprise license. So say Kodak wants to buy 10,000 copies. They don't want to deal with 10,000 serial numbers.
Right.
So you buy an enterprise license with one serial number. Those numbers end up on the pirate boards all the time.
There is now,
no Vista version, enterprise version.
There is. And what they're doing now is you have to set up an enterprise server. And you have to give it a range of addresses. And only when that Vista machine boots up within those range of addresses is it considered legitimate.
Right.
And
so
darn
Microsoft for making it harder to steal.
Yeah. Damn it, Microsoft.
I've got a laptop with XP on it. Can I use that copy?
No.
Nope.
Legally, you can only use
computer,
that.
Right. One.
You may, depending on the license on the computer, you may be able to transfer that license to a new computer if you remove it from the old computer.
Yeah. No,
but you'll have to call Microsoft and get them to deactivate the one and activate the other and all of that stuff.
That's annoying. Yeah, they want to sell you another copy.
Right, they really want to sell you another copy. All right, we're going to take a break. It looks like we're getting news and weather and sports and all the good, important things that you actually listen to WHAM for. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about what goes on in the forums. We didn't have Uncle Dave's Story Hour. What happened to Uncle Dave's Story Hour this week? We'll have to have that at some point when we come back.
We were ranting on other things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were, weren't we? All right. That's all right. We all ranted together this week. That works, too. But we'll come back and we'll do the poll and a bunch of other things. A lot more of your phone calls. There are a couple of lines open, so please feel free to call in.
I got to tell you about a good story in the shop.
All right. When we come back, we'll have that as well. But in the meantime, it's Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest running and greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. All right, kiddies, it's that time once again. Put on your footy jammies, grab your cup of hot cocoa, and sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake and tie them down fast enough, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Yeah, I hear. And no problem. Like I told you, I was primed for this one.
All right.
Okay. I've been doing computers, what,
Buckle
25...
Up.
Over 25 years.
Over, you're old.
Yeah, I am, and I'll admit it.
Since they were run on tubes.
Thank you. Yes, I do remember those, too. But, all right, I can do so much. But when some idiot brings in a machine with not Windows 98 on it, but Windows 95. Hello, that's over how many years old? Like 12 and almost 13. And I'm surprised somebody didn't go into emergency with a keyboard wrapped around their head because he was going to give it to a friend so they can surf the internet. I said, what internet are you going to?
Yeah, right.
What kind of friend?
I mean, talk about.
I thought you liked your friends. Right?
Well, evidently he wanted to pork this one off because there's no way this guy's even going to get a coaster. And he calls him a friend. And I don't know, you know, if it was my friend, I'd have their keyboard wrapped around their head. Because we did have, and this is very unusual for us, once in a while we do get a used machine in. And I was able to say, you know, it was a pretty decent machine, but somebody was upgrading. And I said, well, here's a little bit better one, you know, for a couple $100. Oh, no, I don't want to spend that kind of money.
There
it's
you
like,
are.
Hello, it already had Windows XP on it. It was a very old, low-end XP machine. It was one of the first ones coming out. But it was a heck of a lot better than Windows 95. And then the worst part is the guy gets ticked off because I can't do any of the upgrades or, you know, the service patches.
What?
Oh, they don't make it anymore!
They haven't made it in 8 years.
Well, then I was considered, evidently you don't know what you're doing then. If you can't get them. Yeah, we can't because, oh, they moved on. Like 98, Windows ME, Windows 2000, Windows XP, Windows Vista.
And
what part of those did you miss?
Yeah, but now, the annoying half of this question is that Microsoft took those updates off the website.
Yeah,
that doesn't cost anything but hard drive space.
Right. You think they would. Well, but they, you know, no.
But I get blamed for still
not buying it, not selling
right,
the version.
Right.
Hello, I get blamed for still not having those things laying around.
Yeah.
Dave, can't you get parts for a Studebaker?
Yeah, exactly. My Edsel, Dave. My Edsel is having a problem. Can you fix it? What do you mean you can't get this part anymore?
What do you mean it's going to cost me $200?
Here the guy saying that he's such a good friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, now I can understand his point. I've got a spare computer lying around. My friend doesn't have any. I'll give him mine. I don't want to spend any money on him.
Yeah, but then don't criticize because, you know, some of the folks were
sitting next to him. Should have told him to put Linux on it.
Yeah.
Here's your latest upgrade. It looks a little different, but it's there it is.
There you go.
But, I mean, we're just amazed. Whoa, it's 95.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people don't, God love them. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right. All right, kids. That's it. We're giving Uncle Dave a shot now. Take off your footy jammies. Stop banging your head on the microphone, Uncle Dave.
Yeah, because you're making a mess on the desk.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And we're done. We're way done with Story Hour from Uncle Dave. All right. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about the most disappointing tech product of 2007. 296 of you voted, tying for our number 177 on the all-time hit list. And by your votes, the most disappointing tech product of 2007 was Vista. 71% of you said that. 8%, the next highest was the fact that the Rob Cam is not high definition. That was the second.
No, it is. It's just I am a blurry image.
Yeah. Followed by the iPhone, the Zune, the Leopard, Office 2007. And social networks. This week's poll, and it is on our website at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is about your New Year's resolution. Yeah, it's trite. I don't care. Shut up. The choices are, my New Year's resolution
really
is dance the security tango more often, stop stealing music, go back to XP, try Linux, buy a Mac, or get soundbites on a station in my city. That's for you, Phil. So far, we've had about 83 people vote, and so far, the number one choice is try Linux, followed by dance the security tango more often, followed by buy a Mac, then go back to XP, get sound bites on a station in my city, and only four of you have decided to stop stealing music. When you're done voting in that poll, take a notice of the little yellow box underneath, click on Give Us Your Opinion, it'll take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you can enter your opinion. You'll also see that on my website, I put out a newsletter. You can, once you're a member, you can search the old newsletters for answers to your computer questions. I've got forums that you can get on. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff that goes on there.
And it's only $15 a year, cheap at half the price. And then join us back on our website at soundbites.org.
Hey, Rob, Lolly wants to know what that banjo music was you played at noon.
When is she going to be on the show? We got to have her on.
She's, I don't know. Where is she?
We could have her call in.
Is she in the forums?
In the forums, yeah. She's posting from Annapolis, Maryland, and she works at the unnamed exit off of the I-95 loop around Washington, D.C.
Right, so, yeah. But that's our buddy Lolly, and she's... So what is that banjo? Oh, he's on the phone.
Well,
the
music after the noon break was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood theme for Dave's Story Hour, but that's not quite a banjo.
No, I don't know what the banjo music was. We rarely listen to the music.
I'm sorry, not Mr. Rogers. Leave It to Beaver.
I was going
to
say, that's Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah. There was no banjo music in a commercial there.
Lolly has her own banjo music going on pretty much all the time, and God bless her for that. We love Lolly. We love you, Lolly. It's just a joke. Don't send anybody after me.
She picked her avatar, so...
That's exactly right. Here we go.
There we go. Beverly Hillbillies.
I haven't played that in like a year.
Kindly dropping in. Y'all invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of our hospitality.
I like some of those new car insurance commercials.
Geico.
I didn't want to mention a name, but... Texas Tea, I think not.
Yeah, right. I used to play that one. Fairly regular before I got my arthritis. We used to end a show with that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enreich, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, you, me, Nick Francesco, and we'll get to your phone calls and just do all of those because this is an abbreviated version of Soundbites this week. It is 14 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. We're going to go right to the phones now. Our next caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Well, my question is, I have a hard drive that's operating outside parameters, and the suggestion is to replace it. So I purchased a new hard drive, a bigger hard drive, and one of the options is the Ghost. An image of my old hard drive and apply it to the new hard drive. I was wondering if I do that on the new hard drive, will I have an opportunity to fix any of the damaged files on the hard drive?
Yes. Well, you'll move it exactly as it is. So if there are damaged files, they will move over damaged.
But you'll have no opportunity to fix them.
Right.
They will move over damaged, or they won't move at all if they can't be read. It depends if the files are damaged or if the disk is damaged.
Ah, okay.
If it's the disk, you may have luck with SpinWrite being able to repair the disk underneath the files and bring your files back.
Gotcha. So SpinWrite, is that a program to use?
Yeah, from GRC Research, grc.com. We hear amazing success stories about recovering hard drives and getting data back.
This program is so good, it's even recovered those
flash cards,
Omega.
Yeah, zip drives.
Zip drives, yeah.
He's got a story about someone was dumpster diving and scavenged some broken computers out of dumpsters, runs SpinWrite on them, gets them back working fine, recovers all of the company's data that...
Well, yeah, that's the tough part.
Yeah,
I believe personally if you're going to throw a computer away, the best thing to do with the hard drive is a 12-gauge. Mm-hmm. Both barrels.
10-ton press.
Yeah.
Giant magnet.
But that's, ghosting works really well, but it will move over everything exactly, including the bad stuff. So I would try SpinWrite first. Certainly a good idea to have a new drive if that drive is dying. But before you, well, I guess I'd move everything first, particularly I back up my data separately onto a thumb drive or whatever, back up all my data, then ghost the disk, then try SpinWrite on the old disk. And if that works, re-ghost it again. I mean, that's a little tedious, but it really is, I think, the best way to go if you're trying to save all your old stuff. All right? All right, our next caller is Marcy from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Marcy. What's your question?
Well, it's not so much a question as I found a couple things on Firefox which I found to be very helpful in preventing you were talking about viruses which come through Flash and what have you. And two things. There's various add-ons. There's AdBlock Plus, which doesn't take care of all of them, but takes care of a lot of them. So I can block what I don't want. and then there's the thing called no script. And there are no scripts. You have to individually allow them temporarily or permanently, and then you can reverse it if you want to.
Yep.
And then FinJan, secure browsing, I find is great for when I'm Googling up something and I can take a look and go, well, no, I don't want to go there today. Because it'll tell me if there's something on that site which is infected or not safe for the day. Because it's a daily thing which checks it. And I find these things to be wonderful. I have so few nasty flashing things popping up. Because my kids, you know, I say, don't click on anything but kids, you know. But Mom, it said.
Yep.
If it's not there, there's no chance of them clicking on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. One of the problems with all those types of blocks is that the bad guys are using things we want to see, you know, pictures and Java and Flash.
Right.
So it's hard to distinguish between the good things and the bad things.
Well,
and that's how a lot of them are sneaking in, is because you think it's a good thing and you let it in.
I love ad block, though. I use that all the time. I see very few ads now on the internet.
One of the dangers there is that the web pages we go to are mostly free these days because of the advertising.
Right? I completely agree.
If we all stop viewing the ads, then those pages are going to have to go away.
Well, actually, the only ones I get rid of are those ones that come up over the page.
Yeah.
Or
the ones off on the side you can ignore.
Flips down, the corner that flips down and takes over the whole page. I hate those.
Or pictures that you really, I didn't want to see that.
Right.
So, I mean, the other stuff, which I find to be innocuous, I generally leave alone because, hey, I might want to look at it someday. I might want to check it out.
That's right.
But the things that are really irritating, I block them.
Yeah,
but you can unblock them.
You got to watch out for spelling errors too when you're typing addresses.
Yes, you do.
You misspell something, you go to weird places.
Oh,
yes, you do.
Yes.
It used to be, and I love this story. It used to be that whitehouse.com was not a government site. Let's just put it that way. it was a porn site.
Yeah.
Now it's a separate, changing the face of politics, blah 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 thing, whatever it is. But it used to be a porn site, and they hired lookalikes. So they looked like whoever was in office or in the news at that time.
Yeah.
And we invariably, every quarter, we'd have one faculty member or another, not the same one each time, who would type in whitehouse.com, hit enter, and then talk to students for a while, not looking back at the screen. And they're sitting there laughing and chortling. And then I'd invariably get a call. The internet is broken. Can you fix it? Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yep. Well, I read somewhere that like the number two or number three search on Google is yahoo.com. Well, it's a lot of web browsers now, their default homepage is Google because Google's got deals with people. And I see this all the time. Instead of going to the address bar and typing Yahoo or going to the address bar and typing Ford, they Google it.
Right.
And then they'll click on the link in Google. So you could save yourself a step just by typing the address in the address bar.
But that's how Google gets to be the number one spot on the internet. That's how that works. All right, Marcy, thank you for those tips. I really like most of the add-ins I found from Firefox. They had one for a while about the status of Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda is
the guy who,
not dead.
Yeah, the guy who played Fish on Barney Miller.
Yep.
They had a little status bar. Abe Vigoda is alive.
Yep. He probably checks it every day. Do you mean?
ApeVigoda.com.
Yeah, I can go to work. I can go to the market. I'm still alive.
Well, that goes back to what was it? Who was it? Bob Hope? One of the classic big entertainers. Their obituaries are written up in advance.
Yeah. Right.
So when they do die, it can lead the paper. And it accidentally got printed?
Yeah. Well, it was Mark Twain. Rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated. All right, our next caller is Jim from Rochester. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
My question is, I'm not getting any internet connection on my desktop, but let me tell you what my setup is. I've got my desktop, I've got Roadrunner for the internet, and I've got a wireless router, and I've got a wireless laptop. I am getting internet on the laptop, but I'm not getting any internet connection on my desktop.
Now, you've shut everything down and recycled everything?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to recycle them in the right order. Your cable router has to be on and ready, wait 30 seconds or a minute, then turn your network router on and wait for it to be ready, then turn your computer on.
And there's another thing.
Let me ask you a question first. Should I shut the desktop off?
Oh, yes.
Shut everything down,
even the cable modem and the router.
Okay, so
then you bring up the cable modem.
All right.
Then after that, the router.
Well, and wait a minute or two until the lights stop blinking, because it has to be on and ready.
Right.
Right.
Then after those two are on, then go around and turn the machines on.
Right.
Okay.
There's
you
also,
want me to even shut my laptop off?
Too? Yeah. That's
yeah, everything.
Everything down.
Yeah, everything means everything.
It doesn't make much sense, but sometimes they just like to rest.
Yeah.
Holiday weekends, we shut everything down. We shut our servers down because they just like
to
rest.
What I, yeah. I mean, I can't understand. Why am I picking the internet up on my laptop? And
well, there's
not
also
on my
another
laptop.
Thing that can happen there, which is that in many of these routers that have wireless, you can set them up inside the router to use one or the other or both.
Okay.
So one of the other things you need to check is in the router itself, check to see that it is indeed set up to allow both to work.
And what I see oftentimes in a lot of the routers is because you never turn them off, they get tired.
Yep.
And the DHCP server stops serving addresses.
Yep.
So your computer loses connection.
All right. I have to say we are done for another year. I want to thank everybody who called in. Want to apologize to all those to whom we did not get. Call in next year. I really want to thank all of you listeners. You've kept us on the line for an insanely long time, and we're very grateful for that. We've been on the years the air 18 years, 3 months, 27 days, and it's all due to you. Please keep listening throughout 2008, and should old acquaintance be forgot. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, and all of you, wishing you a joyous, safe, and blessed new year, and we will see you next year, right back here, same bat time, same bat channel, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM, and see you next year.